We've got some feedback somewhere. Okay. I would like for you to turn to the book of John, chapter 1. Book of John, chapter 1. And if the children want to go out to church, children's church, we have two ladies who are more courageous than the rest, and they're going to go out with them. First thing I always look for after church is to see if our ladies have survived. You know, during the week, I spend a lot of time in my office, and in fact, in the church building by myself, because we don't always have people here around. So it gives me a chance to think about things. And that is probably dangerous to you folks. You don't realize that, but it is. And so I was thinking and trying to imagine what it would be like if Jesus were alive today and upon this earth. He is alive. But if he were here upon this earth with us today rather than 2,000 years ago. You know, we don't think of Jesus. When most people think of Jesus, they think of someone with a beard walking from town to town or riding a donkey from town to town and, you know, not getting on an airplane, not driving a vehicle. A lot of things we don't think about Jesus doing. But if he were here today, what might it be like? So that's what I'd like for us to think about this morning. So John 1, verses 10 through 13. John 1, verses 10 through 13. It says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, and even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Father, we open your word now, and we ask that your Holy Spirit minister to the needs of our hearts from within for those who know Jesus as Savior, and from without for those who do not know him. But Father, may today be a day where they do come to know him. Help us, Father, to understand the purpose for your word. Help us to understand the ministry of your Holy Spirit. And Father, may we glorify you in these next few moments. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'm asking the question, what would Jesus do if he lived in the world today? The reason I'm asking this question is that I believe it's important for our mission to be able to answer that question. You see, Jesus gave us a mission to accomplish before he left this earth. And it's addressed in the book of Acts, the first chapter, verses 8 and 9. And let me explain what was going on. He gave the Great Commission to his disciples. We can read about that in Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. Let me just read that Great Commission because everybody's pretty well familiar with it. In verses 19 and 20 of Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's a mission. And that's the mission that Jesus has given us. But he goes on to say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Now, if you've got a King James, it says even unto the end of the world. But that word is actually properly translated age. And we live, you and I, we live in that age. We are a part of it right now. It's what is going on all around us. And sometimes I look at what's going on around us. It's scary, folks. It really is. I've tried to contemplate our place in the world and the small piece of real estate that we occupy. When you think about each one of us, a person, you're a person, not as a couple, but as an individual, you, yourself. You are on a certain number of square feet. Usually they figure 2 square feet. Some of us, like me, who spend a little more time at the dinner table, maybe a little bit more than that, but let's say 2 square feet. That's not much real estate. And when you begin to contemplate the universe and how much is out there, you know, we're not talking about in miles. We're talking about in light years. And I can't comprehend a light year. I can't. I know light is very fast, 186,000 miles per second. But I can't contemplate a year's worth of light travel. Boy, that's a lot. And yet, you and I are the concern of our Heavenly Father, and He's got this whole universe. That's something to think about. When you pray, when I pray, and I pray for you, and I pray for, sometimes I pray for our congregation, meaning all of you. That's a lot of people for God to keep track of. And then you start thinking about the Christians all over the world. And we pray for our missionaries, and they're off in some foreign land. And we begin to think of the people that God has to keep track of. And yet, He loves each one of you enough that He knows what you're doing and what you need. And He is there to meet the need when the need occurs. Think about that. In John 8:12, we read, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." When you think about Jesus' life, we're going to think about it in two times. Time when He was here 2,000 years ago, and today. You'll understand today a little bit later. But when we think about that, there was a lot of darkness in Jesus' world. There's a lot of darkness in our world. More darkness than I really want to contemplate. And yet, Jesus said He was the light of life. And each one of us have a life of some kind. Some lives are better than others, but in Jesus' day, when He came, the truth was just as precious then as it is today. There's not much truth around today, folks. Very little. It used to be, if you read it in the newspaper or you saw it on the internet, you could pretty well take it for gospel. Can't do that anymore. Because who is the prince of this world? The devil. And who is he? He's the father of lies. And he is very successfully ruling right now. And so people have no problem with a lie. Now, if you've raised any children, remember when your child came to you and told his first lie? Okay, son, who ate that cookie? Oh, the dog ate that cookie. But you don't have a, we don't have a dog. You don't have to teach them to lie. They know how to lie. And we've got people all around us that have spent their entire life being able to look you straight in the eye and lie to you. With you standing right there. You know what makes me angry about that? They think I'm stupid enough to believe their lie. And what's even worse, sometimes I am. We're living in dark days. And if we were to do the same thing that Jesus did in his day, then we're going to have to make sure that we, you and I, are radiating light, truth. We have to be sure of that. We must not be willing to accept the darkness. I don't like darkness. I stumble over things in the darkness. I walk into things in the dark. We had to buy new furniture when we moved into the apartment. One of the things we bought was a bed. It has drawers under it. There's two drawers at the foot. There's a drawer on each side. But in order to have those drawers at the foot of the bed sticks out about that far beyond the mattress. You ought to see my shins. From trying to get back to bed in the dark. I don't like dark. And I don't imagine that you like dark either. You want to be able to see what's going on. I can't read in the dark. And so I want light. More of it, the better. And that's what Jesus was. That's what he said we're to be. We are to be the light. We're to be the salt of the earth. We're to preserve what's here around us. And how good a job are we doing of this? In the time of Jesus, the Holy Spirit resided in his Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ. He was not resident in the lives of the disciples yet. Oh, he would anoint them for special service, but he didn't live in their hearts. You see, that didn't happen until the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus had risen from the dead. This morning, we're going to celebrate communion, and we'll tie that back to a couple days before he died. But as we're thinking about it, we need to think about how we can be light and where we need to radiate that light. You know, we have missionaries who we have sent out. We support every Sunday night. All of the offering that comes in goes to our missionaries. And we have missionaries in Mexico, we've got missionaries in North Africa, we've got missionaries everywhere. Even in China, we have missionaries. And they are risking their lives to be there. And we need to support them. We need to pray for them. We need to make sure. But you know where we really need some missionaries? Washington, D.C. And I don't see anybody objecting to that. Washington has become one of the darkest places in this nation. And we need the light of Jesus in Washington. Now, I'll tell you, there are a few missionaries up there. But they're having an awful time because they have just, it's like us. When you and I, are out going about our task during the week. We're shopping and we're going to work. Or we're doing whatever. That's one little candle. You know, we used to sing as a child, "This Little Light of Mine." Remember it? And that's you when you're going about your business. This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. And so when we come together on Sunday morning, we got a lot of little lights. And so we have some brightness here. And we want to make sure that that brightness goes out into the world. That's why I told you about this opportunity we have to reach out to new move-ins here in this area every month, over 200 families. Well, in the time of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit resided in him. It came upon him when he was baptized. Remember what it told us? Like a dove. That was the Holy Spirit. Later on, it indwelled all of the disciples, and that was about 120 people to get started. And now look at how many people in the world have the Holy Spirit living in their hearts. We ought to be able to light up this world, but it doesn't seem like we're doing that. So if you're praying for missionaries, pray for some missionaries to Washington. Because of the darkness in the center of our nation's PowerPoint, it has spread across the entire country. This country is getting darker and darker and darker. And you and I are the only hope of helping provide light to the people around us. And that needs to be our mission. It's up to you and I to be the salt to preserve it and the light to illuminate it. John 14, 15 and 17 says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Now, we need not be upset because there's two spirits in the world, the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of the Antichrist that's among us. God has a plan. And from the very beginning, his plan was that man might live forever. Do you realize what that means? That means that when God created Adam and Eve through Jesus Christ was the creator. When he created Adam and Eve, it was his intention that they should live forever. Never die. That was God's intention. Death was not a part of the creation. That came after Satan deceived Eve. Satan didn't deceive Adam. Adam submitted to his desire for his wife. And the Bible tells us that. But the moment that they sinned, the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. It also tells us the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so death entered into the world at that point, and it's been here ever since. But you and I, if we know Jesus Christ, we are going to experience death, yes, but death is simply going to be a transition for us to go to heaven to be with Jesus, to be with God forever. We have eternal life in Jesus Christ. So I want to think about this, and I want you to think about this. Most of the world does not know him, because he lives in our heart, but we're not able to get to all of the world. Jesus promised that if we will believe, he would use us, you and I, to reach out into the world. So though the Holy Spirit lives in us, I asked the question earlier about what you thought Jesus might do if he lived in our time. And, you know, I've got an answer for that. You probably haven't thought of it yet. You may be picturing, here's Jesus. You think he would drive a car? Can you picture Jesus? Beard, robe, sandals, driving a car in Charleston? I can't either. What a thought. What would he do when somebody ran a light and ran into him? How would he respond to that? You know why we can't think of that? We can't picture that? Because Jesus Christ doesn't live in the world today. You do. You do. You are his ambassador. You are his representative to the people around you. He doesn't have to live today. We do. And he's given us a job to do. We're to be his ambassador. We're to represent him. Our job is to present the truth, the light, to the world around us. And folks, we just don't seem to be doing the job we need to do because this world has gotten so hard, so dark, that that little flicker, one candle power. I had a spotlight you plugged into the cigarette lighter in the car if you wanted to see something. It was 2 million candle power. When you pulled the trigger, you could almost kill the battery. But that was bright. I mean, you talk about bright. 2 million candle power. One candle power is not very bright, and that's what we all are. We're just one candle power. We've got to join together and make sure we stay together with the message that Jesus has given us to take to the world. And we need to do more than we're doing right now. We're going to have to think about this. You know, we're going to have to think about how can I be a light to this world around me? And there's a lot of ways it can be done. I think about the fact that when we meet here at 8310 Dorchester Road, we are, I hope, a very bright light. But when we leave, church is over, and you go out and get in your car, and you go one way, and someone gets in their car, and they go another way, that light is dissipating because we're back to one candle pop. So if you will uphold each other in prayer, asking that the Lord use you to reach out to the people around you and to the people within these communities, then that one little candle power again comes back together because it represents Coastal Shores Baptist Church. I told you earlier that, you know, I like the Gospel of John because John lived in the world. He was not of the world, but John was sort of practical. The book of John is to you and I. We're Gentiles. And John wrote to the Gentile. And he wrote of the world, the things of the world. And so I like his Gospel. because he tells us something that none of the other gospel writers tell us about. And I hope this will be an encouragement to you this morning. John wrote the 17th chapter of John, which is the high priestly prayer. Jesus prayed for each one of you, as well as his disciples, before he was betrayed. And in the high priestly prayer, I want to read just a few verses and explain why I love this so much. John 17, 19 through 23. John 17, 19 through 23. This is Jesus praying to God, his Father. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, and this is the verse I really love, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us people. Jesus was praying for every one of you and for me. Verse 20, Let me reread that. Neither pray I for those alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they might be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I give them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Beautiful. God loves you. That's what we've got on our sign out front. Since the day we started that sign up, that's what we put on there, and we've still got it on there. Because of truth. God loves you. And he loves all the other people. But they don't know that. They haven't experienced that in their hearts. They haven't experienced that in their lives. And this is why, when I was thinking about what would Jesus do if he were living in the world today, I couldn't imagine. Just like you couldn't imagine him driving your car or a car, because he is not in the world today. He's with the Heavenly Father. He's there making intercession for you and I. He sees our needs. God, these people are in trouble. They're having a problem here, or they're having a problem there. And Father, would you take care of that? And he does. You and I are here rather than Jesus. We have the same job to accomplish. Oh, we can't die for the sins of the world, but we can live for Jesus. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be that little light. There should be no question in anybody's mind in the neighborhood where you live that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because that's what he put you here to communicate. You communicate it two ways. Light, associated with truth. Salt, which is associated with the preservation of our country and our society. We may lose our country. It's very close. Folks, you don't know how close we are right now to losing everything. Everything that means something to us. And yet, what does this book tell us? God is in control. He sets up the rulers. Now, I want you to think about this, and you can, if you have to take grief from somebody about this, you tell them that your pastor told you this, okay? God is in control. He sets up those who are in power. It doesn't say he sets up good people. It says he sets up those who are in power in order to fulfill his purpose. And what is his purpose? That we might come to the end of this age. Remember I mentioned that word as we were opening up? It was part of the Great Commission. Folks, I believe we're coming to the end of the age. And what happens after that? We all disappear. We all go to heaven to be with Jesus. My, what a wonderful end. If Jesus was in the world today, what would he do? He's going to do whatever you do. Now, are you going to live for him? Are you going to live for you? Your call. Father, we come before you, knowing that you have placed us here for your own purpose. And Father, you want us to fulfill your purpose and to do all the things that Jesus would do. So Father, we ask that you will give us, first of all, your Holy Spirit and his leading, that you will give us courage to do what needs to be done, what must be done, and then, Father, that you will give us strength that we might sustain our service to thee. We need your strength. We need your wisdom. Father, we need your power. Help us to fulfill our mission as ambassadors for Christ. And may you be glorified by everything that we do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.